Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you do with such a wacky story? People from all over the world are gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost. Itself, not out of the ordinary. It's a harvest festival, a traveling festival, one for which you pack up and go to Jerusalem if you're able. The variety of languages there, therefore, is not a surprise. But the spectacle that ensues is quite unexpected. A mighty rushing wind filling the entire house, tongues of fire on the head of these 12 men. And the commotion is such that the sound summons thousands of people who have been gathered in Jerusalem to see and to hear what's happening. And what do they conclude? These men are drunken fools. And not only because they can't understand all the languages the apostles are speaking, it's the goofy smiles on their faces and the bounce in their step. For as the psalmist says, the Lord causes wine to gladden the hearts of men. And so the people at Pentecost mistake the glad hearts and the joy of the apostles for the buzz of fine new wine. But the joy of a fine Cabernet rolling around on your tongue and lightening your head is nothing compared to the joy of a long binding curse undone. For this is Pentecost, and the Spirit moves. It is the new Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, the new Harvest Festival, and the Lord is sending out His messengers to begin the end time harvest of humanity. All are to be gathered in. Gluttonous Cretans, bullying Romans, proud and belligerent Parthians, the backwoods hicks of Phrygia and their silly hats, the rich and vain Arabians with the jewels in their turbans, the conniving Jews and the half-hearted proselytes, even the stiff-necked Krauts, the cynical Gauls, the stuck-up English, the pompous Americans, all are to be gathered in. And what can you say to such a wacky story? People gather from all over the county and beyond on a Sunday morning when sensible-minded people are sleeping in, getting more work done, hauling the boat to the lake. They come from everywhere, from the old town and the new, from the backwoods of Shiloh, from down the bluff in Caseyville, from the hills of O'Fallon, the middle of nowhere farms, from the depressed parts of Fairview, from mansions in Swansea, east siders and west siders, lifelongers and outsiders, and they gather here, around this pulpit, because there is a great wind blowing, filling the whole house of God, the breath, the Holy Spirit. All these people who would never otherwise cross paths gather together as family. People who would never otherwise be friends or even acquaintances here are made brothers and sisters. And the word is proclaimed now no differently than on that first Pentecost. Peter's stinging rebuke, "This Jesus whom you crucified," is still preached. Your sins, your rebellion against your Creator, your deserved damnation killed Jesus. The goal of the law is to cut you straight to the heart, to cause you to despair of saving yourself, to wrest from your grip every other thing that you might cling to until there is absolutely nothing left. The goal is that you ask with these Pentecost crowds, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And yet, people still reel and sway as if drunk, intoxicated with the sweet message of forgiveness, when the preaching of the apostles leaves you no escape. The only way out is in Jesus. in his cross, when you have rightly despaired of your inability to save yourself, the proclamation that God has saved you for the sake of Jesus is as comforting and as freeing a word as there can be, making men merrier than much wine, gladdening their spirits more than the finest single malt seven bottles over. What will people think? These men must be drunken fools. But the Lord is not a God of confusion. The point at Babel was not to create diversity or division. The goal of the dispersal and the confusion of Babylon was to create with one united voice, I repent. And now, Pentecost is the reversal of Babel's curse and of Eden's curse. From the mindless Babel comes the crystal clear word of God, everyone hearing in his own native tongue the word of God. God is not a God of confusing tongues and out-of-body ecstatic babbling, so-called heavenly languages, proof of some anti-scriptural second baptism by the Holy Spirit. God is not a God of confusion. Speaking in tongues always has the goal that people may hear the word of God in their own languages. God is a God of greater understanding, not confusion, of mysteries revealed, not confounded. The foolishness of the cross is wiser than the world. The gospel may seem like confusion to the unelect, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit comes to you to give you the gift of a new tongue, to enable you to speak in a language heretofore unknown, a language you've never studied, to loose your lips to speak before as you never could. What do you confess in the creed? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. This is a foreign tongue. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Sinners cannot call the Creator of the universe Father. This is a tongue more foreign than any language. But everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So thank God for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts, sanctified and kept you in the same apostolic faith proclaimed at Pentecost. In the same way also he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps her with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You speak this foreign language, a tongue foreign to your sinful flesh, the language of faith. You can say Jesus is Lord because of the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. Pentecost is today. What began on Pentecost was the church, the place where the Holy Spirit proclaims the word of God for all of God's elect, all those whom he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies from the ends of the earth, even from the ends of St. Clair County. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not just for the apostles, not just for mouths that proclaim the word of God, it is also for you. St. Peter's words are just as true today. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism. The Holy Spirit joined you to the thousands who on that first Pentecost confessed the faith, uniting you in faith to the innumerable ranks of Christians throughout the world and across time, who rejoice and reel and stagger in the joy of forgiveness that Jesus, who lived, died, and rose to take away the sins of the world, is their Lord. And he is your Lord too, beloved. Having forgiven you in the waters of holy baptism, having given to you his precious gift of faith, the ability to speak a new foreign language, the word of faith. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not a once and done deal. The wind that filled the room where the disciples were gathered on Pentecost is the very breath of the Christian life. To live the Christian life is to be where you still receive the Holy Spirit. The same voice of the gospel that filled the mouths of the apostles on Pentecost still fills the mouths of Christ's preachers today. The Holy Spirit is still and just as active today as He was that day to deliver and to preserve to you and for you the gift of faith that He delivered where and when the word is preached. The same Holy Spirit breathes the breath of eternal life into you in the delivery of the forgiveness of holy absolution. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies you, and He keeps you with Jesus Christ in His church. He does this not just once, but your whole life long. To live in the name and the faith given to you in holy baptism is to continue to receive the Holy Spirit, to come gathered by the Holy Spirit week after week, Sunday after Sunday, where the Holy Spirit who gave you life keeps you in that Christian life. In Him, there is peace with God. In Him, there is forgiveness of sins. In Him, there is joy eternal, joy that passes all earthly human understanding, the joy of sins forgiven that rightly makes you nearly giddy, reeling and swaying, almost intoxicated with joy. Happy Pentecost, drunken fools. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.